is growing and growing, just as well as Islam is growing and growing and growing. And if we follow the blind, we're going to wind up in the ditch. So it's important that we understand that we stay close to Jesus and to His voice. The Bible says His sheep know His voice, and a stranger they will not follow. That doesn't mean we may not be tempted, but it means we will not follow. When push comes to shove, we will follow the rock. From where we follow, we will follow Him that hung upon that tree for you and me, and He bled and died for you and me. We will take up our cross and do what the Bible says and follow Jesus. We're living in a time where the hour is late and is getting later and later. And I ran into somebody yesterday at Sonny's that hadn't seen in a very long time. And I'm sitting there eating, and I look up, and they walk in, and they're oblivious that I'm there. And I finish my dinner, and we're just laughing. I said, well, before we leave, I got to go see somebody. So I got out of the booth and went and seen this individual. It was Brother Gerald, and I hadn't seen him in a long, long time. I walked over, shook his hand, gave him a hug, and he just asked me if Granny Venable had passed away, and I said, yeah. And he said, did you get to go to the funeral? I said, no, I had to work for a living, so I had to be at work. So I wasn't able to go, and he just asked if I was still going to Brother Venable's church. I said, absolutely. And I just left it at that, didn't witness to him other than just showing him the love of Jesus and giving him a hug. Sometimes that's a bigger witness than saying anything. Thank you for the amen. Sometimes just shaking somebody's hand and hugging their neck, they realize something on the inside, that I was once a brother, and they're still showing that brotherly love to me that I once knew and held so dear. And so we left, and we're heading down Route 39 to head to Plant City, and I'm smelling the orange groves and the fruits rotting on the trees, and it just occurred to me that God speaks to me. Everywhere I go, God speaks to me. If you're not, God don't speak to you everywhere you go, you need to get right. You need to get saved, because everywhere I go, God speaks to me. And as I'm driving on my motorcycle, I'm just thinking of the scripture, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And I'm smelling the rotten oranges, and I work in produce, so I know what a rotten grapefruit smells like and a rotten orange smells like. And Heather goes, what's that smell? And I says, honey, that's rotten fruit. It's on the trees. It's on the grounds. It's rotten. It's spoiling. I said, that's what you smelled. And then about a mile or two down the road, we smell the sweetness of orange blossom. You know, when orange blossom's blooming, it's a beautiful smell. And it's evident that when we're blossoming in Christ, how we smell very good, and how we just have a lovable spirit about us, and how we just want to do that's right and pleasing in the Lord. Amen. Thank you for the amen. When we're walking with Jesus, we want to be in God's house. But as soon as we stumble and, you know, we fall on our face a little bit, we want to kind of pull back. And see, God wants us to pull forward and not pull back, because the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. That doesn't mean we can live in that unrighteousness, but if we come to God with a pure heart, He's going to forgive us. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And I don't know, I was just thinking on the way to Plant City that about Brother Gerald, and Heather goes, was he a father figure to you? And I was like, no, he really wasn't. And I thought of the scripture that, you know, we have a lot of preachers, pastors, teachers, but we have few fathers and few mothers in the church. And we need more fathers and we need more mothers in the church. Thank you for the amen. We've got plenty of quote-unquote prophets and prophetesses and teachers and deacons, but we need more mothers to teach the younger, and we need more fathers to teach the younger, because if there's nobody there to teach it, then the faith is going to slip away. And it's important that we stand and contend for the faith. And the reason I said all this is to bring this about and out, and if it gets to whoever it gets to, it doesn't really concern me or bother me. I'm going to be one voice, and I don't have a huge platform, but I'm going to speak out against it. And it's some of you may know, some of you may not know about Oprah Winfrey's One World Church, about her religion, about how she says you need to look inwardly. But see, Jesus said, she said, there's more, there's got to, Jesus can't be the only way. Well, wait a minute, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the vine. Above me there is no other. If we go any other way but through Jesus, the Bible says we'll be called a thief and a robber. and we can't even enter into the kingdom of heaven. But we've got this new philosophy, this new ageism that says just look inwardly, that there is no heaven, that there is no hell, when yet Jesus said there is a hell and that there is a heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it was not so, I wouldn't tell you. But I go and I'm going to prepare that place for you. And the reason it's so important that we as Christians speak out about it, because Jesus is the only way. There is no other way to salvation but through Jesus. There is no other way to have your sins forgiven but through Jesus. It was Jesus paid the ultimate price for you and me when he hung and he bled and he died on that tree. But what was more important was when he rose from the dead. See, we would be dead in our sins if it had not been for that resurrection. On that day when Jesus rose from the dead, we would be dead in our sins. We wouldn't have that life living on the inside of us that we have living on the inside of us. We wouldn't have that resurrection power. The old man wouldn't be dead if it wasn't for Jesus rising from the dead. Let the gainsayers say what they want to, but Jesus is alive and well and he's coming back very, very, very soon. That is why we're seeing the ramparts and the ravers of all these celebrities speaking out that have influence. Why? Because if the blind lead the blind, there's a lot of people that are going to wind up in the ditch. Amen. And it's important that we speak up and stand out and say, Oprah Winfrey is not a Christian. Oh, Brother Sean, how can you say that? Let me tell you this, my brother and sister. I would rather say she's on her way to hell than tell her she's on her way to heaven and wind up in hell. She is not on her way to heaven. She might have a knowing and an understanding of God, but she's very, very deceived. Very deceived. The Bible says that in the last days, men will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How apparent that we are in the last days, and how apparent that men are giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I see it more and more apparent every day that I wake up and turn on the television or turn on the news, how people are following seducing spirits. How men are following seducing spirits into lust, into pornography. We're living in that day that the Bible talked about, that in the last days perilous times will come to pass. We're living in that very day. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now, that as long as we have Jesus, we know that our sins are forgiven. It really doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. We're not even promised tomorrow. The Bible says life's but a vapor. You know, there's an old song that says there's always tomorrow. No, there's not. There's not always tomorrow. You might drive home and, God forbid, get in a car accident or something and your life be taken from you. But there's not always tomorrow. Young people think that they have forever to live and they don't. There's just as many young people in the grave as there are adults or and senior citizens. But Oprah Winfrey is so, so deceived to say that she was sitting in her Baptist church. I should have printed it out and brought it, but I didn't, but it's okay. She was sitting in a Baptist church and she didn't understand why God was a jealous God. Well, maybe she should have asked her pastor why he's a jealous God. Because in that passage of Scripture, in that truth of the Scripture in the Old Testament is God's people were given over to idolatry and they were falling prey to idols and they were following false gods and he was jealous over his people. And it's to this day God is still jealous. If there's an Isaac in your heart or an idol in your heart, if you would say, God is still jealous and God wants that and wants to put his finger on it so he can deliver you, because God wants to be everything to you that you look to this world for, or you look to your husband for, or you look to your wife for. God wants to be that everything to you that you won't let him be. And it's important that we allow God and let God be that everything. There is no other life outside of Jesus Christ that will fulfill you and will satisfy you and give you all the peace that you were looking for other than through Jesus. See, it's that Jesus that's the only way to heaven. It's through him. It's not through Muhammad, it's not through Buddha, and it's not through individuality or looking inside oneself. It's through Jesus Christ, the man, the Messiah, the Master. It's through him. It's not through any other, but it's through Jesus. There is, without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there is no remission of sins. There had to be bloodshed for us to be forgiven. In New Age says you don't have to have bloodshed. You just think of yourself as being good and you're going to be good. How erroneous and ironic and full of baloney is that? We're living in a day where we've got ministers that tell their people that, you know, it's okay that you're not married. You just won't be as blessed. Wait a minute, what happened to going to hell? What happened about going to heaven? What happened about the Bible say, you know, the part of the Bible in Galatians that says if you be a fornicator, an idolater, a drunkard, you won't inherit the kingdom of God, which simply means you won't go to heaven and inherit eternal life if you want to get into practical layman terms. It's important that we understand that we stand up for that that is true and that that is right. Even if you stand alone, it's important that you stand up for Christ, because there's people standing up for what they believe in. How about you? When are you going to stand up for what you believe in? When are you going to stand up for what's right and what's wrong, and what's right in the church and what's necessarily wrong in the church? I preached a message a couple months ago that says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And basically the gist of the message was this: I can drive down the highway with three lug nuts on my car and it needs five. It may not be broke, but it needs fixing, because it's very dangerous to drive down the highway with three lug nuts instead of five. The tires could come off, the lug nuts could get loose, and the car could be wrecked. But I've heard it said my whole life that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I kind of disagree with that theology and that term, because it's important that we understand that there are some things that need fixing inside you and inside me, and only God can fix them. Only He can deliver us. Only He can heal us. There are hurts that some of you have that you need to let God heal you of. There are things that bother you and bother me that we just need to allow God to heal us. We need to let God take us back on that potter's wheel, as Sister Dell said, and mold us and shape us, and let forgiveness and let love flow in and through our lives, so we can be everything that God has called us to be. And everything, and when we walk down the street, people will know that there's something different about us. Not because we necessarily have a bad attitude. And oh, let me back up a minute. And when we're standing up for the truth and we're standing up for that's right, we need to do it in such love and such compassion that say, you know what? I'm afraid for you because you don't know the truth. We need to do it in such a way that people know that we're not just being judgmental, quote unquote. We're not just being hard, quote unquote. But we're doing it because there's a love for that person and that individual. See, the Bible says we got to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth, but do it in love. When Jesus spoke the truth, it was in love. It was downright absolute truth, because He was the truth. When He was at the woman with the well, He said He spoke the truth in love. When the woman was caught in adultery and He sat down and He began to write in the sand and He looked up and none of the people were around, He says, I don't condemn you either. That was love. And we need to learn how to speak in that Holy Ghost love that's supposed to flow out of us, because we have the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the love of God is shed in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, let this river that's in you flow out of you. And if the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in our heart, if the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, then that love should flow out of us to a lost, damned, and dying world. When we're speaking the truth, we should let that love flow. And our character and our demeanor should be that of such that represents Christ. And oh, I've got some work to be done on me, as far as letting the character and speaking the truth in love. It's easy to just speak the truth. It's a whole other thing to do it in love. And oh, that we would learn how to speak the truth in love. Because we've got to speak up, and we've got to stand up. Abortion was legalized because Christians didn't speak up and stand out. Thank you for the amens. What's going to be next? Gay marriages, because we won't speak up and stand out? We want the acceptance of our friends and our peers at work. Everybody at work knows where I stand. My store manager knows where I stand. He's a good man, but God We don't talk about certain things because it'll bring dissension and division. We just don't talk about it. He'll ask me questions, though, and if he asks me questions, I'll be like, you ask the question, I'm giving you the answer. And I'll take my Bible into his office, and we'll sit in there for 2 hours, and I'll show him this and show him that and show him this, and he'll be like, well, I was always taught this. I says, you know what? If we're going to talk about this, let's forget everything I was ever taught. Let's forget everything you were ever taught. Let's say a prayer right now, and let God bring us both into the truth. Because, hey, guess what? I don't know everything, and there might be something I might be wrong about. Just because I, quote-unquote, have the Holy Ghost don't mean I can't be wrong. Thank you for the amen. Just because we got the Holy Ghost don't mean we're always right. Oh, that I can feel that bouncing off, but that's okay. Just because we have the Holy Ghost doesn't mean we're always right, my brother and sister. Peter was wrong. There were some men in the Old Testament that were wrong. They didn't have the Holy Ghost as we have it, but they had the Spirit of God. And some of them went wrong. David went wrong, but yet he died a man after God's own heart. So we're not above falling. God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble, the Scripture says. I had something else prepared, but evidently God just threw it out of the window and said, nope, you're going this direction. Okay, whatever. I never come completely prepared. I always allow God to direct or whatever he wants to do. Once I let a woman up here and preach, I'm okay with it. Some men have a problem with it, but I'm cool with it. There's neither bond nor free, male nor female, bond nor Jew. We're all one in Jesus Christ. God can use a woman just as well as he can use a man. Thank you for the amen. She should be submitted under a man, but he can use a woman. Oh, well. No woman out there that's not under a covering should be ministering, care what their name is. That's not Bible. Let's talk about the Bible. You got to be under a covering. There's got to be a head. God ordained that, not me, but that's a God ordained thing. Christ is the head, and the husband's the head of the wife, so forth and so on. Even if a woman has a ministry, the husband's still the head of that wife. Thank you for the amens. I hope this tape CD gets out somewhere to some people. They need to hear it, but you know what? Whatever, I'm just going to obey God. But it's important that we understand, we pray for Oprah because she's blind. She does a lot of good, but you know what? You can't earn salvation. It's a gift. See, in New Age, you try to earn yourself. If you try to be a Jehovah's Witness, you're trying to earn your salvation. Everything's about works. But one thing about Christianity, if we can ever get back to the basics, it's just a gift. It's a gift that, you know, we all get real hyped up about Christmas, and some of us decorate our houses really nice. Sherry and Doug, moving right along, and we get real hyped up about Christmas, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God gave us a gift that out surpasses Christmas. It's the gift of life. It's eternal life, and you know, we found that treasure. We need to be like that man that found that treasure. And when he went and found it, he went and sold everything that he had to have that treasure. But we don't value salvation as a treasure anymore, or the things of God per se. Because as long as I go to church and ease my conscience, everything's going to be okay. But see, that's the deception part. But just because we come in this building, everything's not okay. What are you going to do tomorrow when you're at work and when you get up in the morning? What's going to be the first thing that comes to your mind when you wake up in the morning? Is it going to be God, and how can I let God change me and change my actions and change my heart today? Or is it going to be, oh Lord, it's morning. I got to go to work this morning. What are you going to allow God to do in your life this week, this month, and the rest of this year? On my birthday, I had a lot of fun, but and went fishing, but I'm out fishing, and I'm not only out fishing, I'm alone. It's just me, the boat, the fish, Jesus, and I'm praying. I said, Lord, I don't want this year to be like last year. It's also not only my physical birthday, it's also a spiritual birthday for me, because when I was 20 years old, that's when I came back to the Lord, and it happened to be on my birthday. What a coinkidine. And I didn't want the next 5 years to be like the last 5 years, or the next year to be like the last year. And I'm just keep continually praying to God, Lord, whatever you need to do in me, please do it. Because I don't want to be like I was last year. I don't want to be like I was last week. I don't want to be like I was yesterday or 5 minutes ago. I want Him to so change my life that people notice. Y'all notice. The people, when I go into a store, they notice. And there are times I'll be in a convenience store and everybody's in a hurry. And I'll be like, go ahead. And I'll let three people in front of me, and they just look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, I'm just a patient person. I'm just in no hurry. No, go ahead. You know, people always pass me on the highway, and I don't even really speed that much anymore. That's the amazing thing. I do go 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, but that's really about it. Unless I'm on my motorcycle, and then it's like the Shawn Devil kicks in or something. I don't know. No, no, I'm kidding. You know what? I'm just happy to be saved and on my way to heaven. I'm happy that I know the truth, but you know what? That's not good enough for me. We know the truth, but we have an obligation and duty to do something with that truth. See, we've been given much, so God requires much more out of all of us that are in this room. You know, I know us all personally. We've all walked with Jesus for quite some time. So God's, you know, in school and in life, you know, if you're part of a union, you always have union dues. Well, there's some dues we owe Jesus. We owe Him. There's some dues that we owe Him. He's done so much for us that we need to pay back those dues. So some of us wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for Him. So we owe Him our life. And it's not just enough to say, Lord, I give You my heart. That's the easy part. It's another to let that life speak louder than words you could ever say. That's the hard part. And that's where God wants to bring us to. He wants to bring us to such a place that we don't really have to say a lot. It just shines out through us and shows up through our character. His love and His grace and His mercy. The law and the prophets came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. See, not only did truth come, but grace came as well. Because now we have an escape. He took all of our sins upon Him. He's the grace, and He's the truth man. And we need that grace every day, my brother and sister. We need His love and His mercy every single day. Paul said, our sufficiency is not of ourselves. I'm not sufficient in and of myself, and neither are you. It's His Spirit that breathes inside you and me that gives us life. And it's important that we let that life that's in us come out and shine to a lost, damned, and dying world. You can be so abrasive sometimes without noticing it that you turn people off. And God wants that to change. And it happens when we least expect it, when we're overworked, when we're tired, and we're short with people, and we don't even mean to be short with people. It's just part of the flesh nature. And God wants us to nail that sucker to the tree once and for all. He wants us to nail that flesh to the cross once and for all. And you know, we hear a lot about, there's a lot of telethons going on right now. The radio's having a telethon. TVN's having a telethon. Everybody's having a telethon asking for money. And I don't know, me and my way of thinking, I don't know. I think differently than these guys, and I don't know if that's something God placed in me or whatever, but I was thinking, you know, what happened to, I'd love to see a fast-a-thon. I really would, a fast-a-thon. Somebody just get up there and say, you know, we're not going to ask for money this year. We're going to fast asking for money this year. I would love to see that. And I would love for ministers to get behind a pulpit and say, you know, I want everybody to shut their TV off this whole month. And I want us to go on a fast. Because see, we want God's miracles, but we don't want to prepare the land and the heart and the vessel for the miracles. We just want it to be, we just want it to come. You know, we just want to pray and God do it. And you know what? We can pray and God can do it. But there's preparation involved when there's a harvest. Farmers till the land. They plant the seed. They water it. They watch it grow. They pull the weeds out. The bugs, the pests, the varmints, the rabbits, the deer that come and try to eat it, they shoo those off. And so it is with our spirit. There are things that we need to weed out, and we need to redig the wells again and let God redig the wells inside of us if need be, and let Him do the work, because we can't do the work. Only He can. But we have to allow Him to do the work. God's just not going to come to Brother Mike and just take him over and just make him be good. Mike's going to have to allow that, because the Bible says, give me chapter and verse, Sean. Okay. The Bible says we have to be willing and obedient. Thank you. We've got to be willing. And so many of God, quote unquote, God's people aren't willing to be obedient. And to let God do that work in them, because they'd rather be in a line, they would rather get a touch, than to go home and pick up their Bible and let God change them through His Word. And not the word of some man or not the word of some woman, but through His Word, seeking His face. See, back in the olden days, things got done a little different because people sought God's face. They weren't looking for the face of Benny Hinn or Joyce Meyer or people of that caliber. They were looking for God Almighty. And see, that's what we need to get back to, is seeking the face of God Almighty. Not the personality or the persona of a person, but the very God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if people would turn, not that there's nothing wrong with having somebody that can influence your life, but never let that person that influences your life take the place of Jesus Christ. There are people that I look up to, but they are not God. There are people that I look up to, but they did not save me. They cannot heal me. They can pray for me, but it's God that heals me, and it's God that heals you. See, we put people on a pedestal, and we need to get the people off the pedestal. Put Christ back on the pedestal. Put Christ where He belongs, on the throne. What's on the throne of your life? What's on the throne of my life? What's my heart think about and desire? What's your heart think about and desire? We need to be like that deer that pants after the water brook for God. We need to thirst for Him again. We need to desire Him again. We want revival, but we don't necessarily want to work for revival. What do you mean work for, Brother Sean? It has to be by God's Spirit. You're 100% correct. It is going to be by God's Spirit. But men and women have to prepare themselves for the glory of God. The men of the Old Testament could not walk in and offer a sin offering without going through ceremonial washings. And even when they went through ceremonial washings, some of them still died, my brother and sister, because you don't just walk into the Holy of Holies. We got this understanding and this mentality that grace covers everything, and it does. But there is a personal righteousness that we must strive for and we must work for. We have righteousnesses, and it is a gift. But there is a character and there is a righteousness that we need to walk in and in our daily lives that says, there's something different about me. We don't have works per se, but because we are saved, there are works that should be natural to us. We should be more loving than the world and than people in New Age. We have con artists out there today that sit on the street corners asking for money. It's It's very, very hard now to just give people money because there are people in Newport Richey. A man last year made $60,000 sitting on a street corner dressing like a bum asking for money. $60,000 is what he made sitting on a street corner. And when these people hold the signs, "We need money," don't get no ideas, Ditter and Mama. They're getting the idea they're going to sit on the street corner. Don't get no ideas. But you know what? That's a lot of money, my brother and sister. I worked very hard for that last year. Go work 6 days a week, sometimes 60 hours a week, sometimes 70 hours a week. And I hear of a man sitting on a street corner. Bay News 9 did a thing on him. He asked for the money, park his car down and wait, walk to his car, get in his car, go home, and have $500-$600 in a day. Pay his bills, and this is because American people are generous. It's a proven known fact that American people are generous. But I don't just give money, because I'm going to tell you right now, if I give somebody $5 and they're going to make as much as I make and not do a thing for it, but just stand on the street corner, I got a problem with that. I just got a problem with that. I really do. We want to earn money, but we don't want to work. I deal with that all the time with kids where I work, and Mike deals with it at school. Kids want that A, but they don't want to work for it. That's the society we live in. Is our worth ethnic is gone south. It's gone. It's history, and we need to get our worth ethnic back. We need to follow Jesus. Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Now that's not what I said. That's not what you said. That's what our Lord and Master said. If anybody tries to come up any other way, they'll be called a thief and a robber. And we all know that no thief and no robber can inherit eternal life, according to the Scripture. So it's important that we stand our ground when people come to us and ask us questions about this New Age. Or the email I got said the Oprah Church. There's Oprah churches. There's all kinds of churches. Church is big business. Unfortunately, it's become big business. It's sad that it's become big business. It's sad that it's not as sacred and holy as men and women once portrayed it to be. There are times that we live in that children would become disobedient to parents. And I see that even in my own children at times. Men would become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That is the absolute day and hour that we live in. That is why we can cancel Sunday night service on the Super Bowl, get a big screen TV and have a big old Super Bowl party, but we say we're in revival. That is no more revival than I'm a woman. I'm just being blunt because that is no more revival. And I'm as my pastor says, a flaming heterosexual. And I learned that from him. So if anybody hears this tape, you can take that up with him. You know, we laugh, but you know the seriousness of it is this. That Jesus is coming back soon and nobody's getting ready. Nobody's sounding the warning. Nobody's sounding the trumpet. That Jesus is coming back soon. And you don't hear about it on the TV or in the church house. I don't know if any of you read the David Wilkerson letter that talked about the little boy that said, little girl that said Jesus is coming soon. But when I read that, it struck me. It touched me because out of the mouth of babes, my daughter will say things sometime, and I'll look at her and I know that it wasn't her. I know that she didn't learn that from anybody, and I know that it came straight from the throne of God to me. And I have to recognize the difference between it just being Ashley and it being God. Hey, God spoke through a donkey, and there is a difference, but I'm going to tell you something. If God has to use a kid or a child to speak to an adult, He will. He's done it for me. And there's times I look at her and get mad because God's been trying to tell me that for a while, and sometimes we just don't want to listen. How many have ever done that? Amen. God's speaking to us and we just don't want to listen because He's telling us to do something that we really don't want to do, but we need to do what He says to do. That's why we need to let Him mold us and shape us. And I prayed a prayer today. You take this how you want to take this. And you know, the Bible says I'm going to, you know, where we've been grafted into the vine, and we're not Jewish per se, but we've been grafted in. And the Bible says that He'd write His laws and His statutes upon their heart. And I just prayed a prayer this afternoon and said, Lord, rewrite Your laws and rewrite Your statutes on my heart once again so I can do by nature that I'm supposed to do. Why, Brother Sean? Because I don't want to go back into sin. I don't want to go back and be bound by sin's shackles and sin's chains. I want to follow on to know the Lord. I want to follow on to know this man, this Savior called Jesus. Because without Him, I'm telling you right now, if I was to go back, I'd lose my job. A, because I'd be under a curse because I know better. To whom much is given, much is required. How some people prosper in their sin, I don't understand it. Don't have to understand it. All those, I just know how God deals with me. I would be a sunk ship in a heartbeat, and so would you. You can't sit under this truth and know God's truth and just walk away from it. And I would. The Bible says I would rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm. How many lukewarm people are sitting in churches today satisfied because A, they know their sins are forgiven, B, they're sitting in church easing their quote-unquote conscience, but they're never really doing anything for the Lord. They're not reading their Bibles and studying or praying like they should. That's lukewarmness. Oh, it's quiet in here now. Because now God's going to get down to business and get down to the nitty-gritty, because we all want revival. And God wants us to do this so He can prepare us, so He can send the revival. Because there's a preparation for revival, and we're not yet prepared for it. God wants to get us there. God wants to bring us to that place. But we're not yet there. There are too many times our flesh wins instead of our spirit. And we need to change that and let our spirit win more times than our flesh. I know it's quiet in here. I know this is hard to swallow. But you know what? It's the truth, and you know it. You know that it's the truth. You know that there's those times at work, and there's always that one person at work that just really gets to you and just really digs at you. And there are times you give victory, and then there are times you just blow it and just want to wring their neck and just think of doing all kinds of evil things to them when you should be wanting to do all kinds of loving things to them. Hey, the mind is a terrible thing, one person said. That's why we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That's why it's important that we pick up God's Word and we're washed through the water of the Word. When we're reading His Bible, we're doing more than just learning. It's cleansing us. It's healing us. It's delivering us. Why? Because it's a two-edged sword. It cuts the devil And oh, we don't like to talk about a cut in our flesh, but it cuts our flesh to the core. And oh, we need it to cut our flesh to the core. We talk about being right, but are we right with God? Only you and God can answer that. I'm not going to ask you to answer that for me, but you answer that in yourself. Maybe there's things God's asked you to do and you haven't done them yet. Maybe you've made some decisions that weren't a leading of the Lord, but they were a leading of your spouse, or that you were influenced by other people. Be very, very careful when making decisions, because you will have a crossroad in your own personal life when you come to that valley of decision. You're going to have a bunch of different voices, and you're going to have to decipher and know the voice of God. And know and understand that God's fighting for you, and there's someone else that wants to fight for you too, that wants to get you off the pathway of God. Because if He gets you off the pathway just a little bit, you could be deceived. You could get wrong with God. And guess what? When you're wrong with God, it doesn't matter how much you pray or how little you pray, your prayers aren't going to be answered. Oh, I know that's going to not go good with somebody if they get this tape. When you're wrong with God, God's not going to listen to you until you get right with Him and you get back on the road that He wants you to be on. That there are people that are on wrong roads, and you know what? You can try to help them and you can talk to them, but until their eyes are opened, they're not going to see it. How do you know, Brother Sean? My life is an example. Glory be to God. I was dating somebody that was not of God, and all you people kept trying to tell me, and I just didn't want to listen. Well, who was it, brother? Come on. All y'all knew who it was. I don't even need to say for the sake of the tape. But as I was going on, I woke up one day, and it just hit me. Just out of the clear blue, I woke up, and I said, all these people can't be wrong and me be so right. And so I had to make a decision in and of myself. Either all these people are right and I'm wrong, or I'm right and they're wrong. And some of them walked with Jesus long enough that I have to respect that God speaks to them and God's speaking to me. So I made the decision to cut it off, and here I am tonight. You know, I may not be here tonight if I hadn't cut that relationship off. I may not be here because no telling where I might have been. Because I thought I heard the voice of God. There are many people that say, oh, I heard the voice of God. I need to go so and so. And I always question things. And I always just ask myself, what would you do in that situation? Because I can't just leave to leave. If I told my wife the other day, I says, if God ever tells me I can leave the Holy Church of God, two things are going to happen. A, I'm going to be retired from Publix, and we're going to be starting our own church, and God's going to open the door, and Brother Bruno's going to pray for me, and I'm going to leave that way, or I'm not leaving. Because God put it in my heart years ago that I would be here this very night doing exactly what I'm doing, and I thought at one point I was crazy, that it was never going to happen. But I got the phone call one day, and when I got the phone call, I was going through a cold spell. Saying, Lord, I don't understand why I'm going. How many ever had a cold spell? You're reading your Bible, you're praying, but you just blah. You don't understand it. You're just blah. And I got a phone call. Hey, they want you to preach. I says, what? And then you know you have to wrestle with you have to wrestle with your inadequacies. You know, I don't know if any of you know what I'm talking about, but you know I'm not good enough. I'm not eloquent enough. And at one point I told the Lord, no, you made a mistake. And then the Lord ministered to me through the gifts of the Spirit. And finally, one day I said, okay, Lord, I give up. I surrender. I give up. I don't know what your plan is, what your purpose is. I'm just going to do it every time by month. I don't know what this is going to lead into, but I just want to be obedient to you, to your voice, what you placed in my heart years ago. And here I am tonight. Now, two things could have happened. Years ago when I shared with Brother Mike and several of y'all years ago when I was talking about it. Y'all probably thought I was some crazy fool, but that's okay. Either I heard the voice of God when I was 21, 22 years of age, just before I got married, or I didn't. Evidently, I heard the voice of the Lord, and it's important that we listen to His voice and not the voice of our peers, not necessarily the voice of our spouse, but the voice of our God. I've never made a decision based on what Heather thinks or what she doesn't think. Because guess what? Heather's not going to answer for the family. I am. I'm going to answer. And I haven't made a decision because we're not coming here just because I get to minister or anything like that. That's not why I'm coming here. I'm not coming here because my mom and dad come here or my great-grandparents came here. I prayed a prayer one day and said, Lord, I'm 23, 24 years of age. My parents have gone there forever. My great-grandparents have went there. I says, I grew up there. Is it time for me to go? As soon as I said, is it time for me to go, I heard no so clear, so profound. I mean, it was like no. It was like God speaking to me directly. No. Now, I didn't question it. I didn't talk about it anymore. Heather, I was here as a matter of fact, or at the Old Holy Church of God. I was there wherever we were at that given time. And I come home and she goes, well, what happened? I says, this is what happened. I wasn't at the church 15 minutes. Put on some worship music. I'm telling you, when God speaks to you, there are times it's going to be quick, sudden, and impactful. And there are times He may wait to see how you're going to react and what you're going to do in your thought process. I hate it when He does that. I really do. I like them quick answers. And I'm listening to the worship music. And I said, honey, I pulled the rocking chair into where I could hear the music, and I'm sitting there reading my Bible, and I close it, and I don't know, I probably read Proverbs, because I like reading Proverbs 31 days, but y'all do what you want. And I was probably reading Proverbs and Psalms, and I said, honey, I just prayed, and I told her the prayer, and I said, honey, I didn't get through speaking it, and the Lord said, no. And you know what? She's fine. She respects it. She honors it. She's just taking some rest time tonight, because the kids are on spring break. And she's getting ready to do whatever with him, but it's going to rain all week, so maybe she should have come so it could get some good weather. But moving right along, and y'all know how I am. I do the same thing to you, and you do the same thing to me because we love. But it's important that we stand for that that's right, even if we stand alone. Because really, we're not alone because Christ always stands with us. But there are times in my own young life that I've had to stand alone because of what the Scriptures say. There are times I've had to stand alone because of not watching certain movies because, you know, people think you're nuts because you don't watch certain things. Or you don't listen to certain country channels or certain rock channels. They think you're absolutely wacko, but you know what? I'm not giving place. I'm not opening a door. See, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, the Scripture says. It's not the big things. It's those little things we let slip. It's those little things we let slide. It's that little gossip. It's not the big gossip. It's the little one that gets us in trouble. Gets us wrong with God, and then we want God to do a miracle for us. It's that little fox. It spoils all that good that we got Sunday morning, Sunday night, on Monday afternoon when we picked up that telephone call from Sister Hoopendicker. It's that little fox that spoils the vine. Watch out for your little foxes. Watch out for them closely. Would you please stand?